As far as the condition of other things on the trucks, on this particular truck, hoses, connections, fittings, compressors, you know, all that big stuff that tends to wear out and become problematic over time, what's the overall condition of those items on this vehicle?
Overall, they're good. We have these checks, these trucks checked monthly through a preventive maintenance program through our repair division, as well as the on-duty members going through it and performing a monthly checklist. And they will check, visually check all items such as fluid levels and condition of hoses, condition of belts, things of that nature. And other than expected preventive maintenance issues that will arise, we expect this truck to still last us for quite some time.
Chief, I am pleased with all the answers to those questions. And I'm pleased to see that the department is looking towards investing some, not that this is a drop in a bucket amount, but what I would call short dollars to save some very long dollars, because a new engine, is this what you call an engine?
Yes.
Not the motor. It's an engine, a ladder. Which one is it?
Oh, this is for a rescue vehicle, an EMS
rescue
unit.
Vehicle.
So this is for an EMS unit.
We just purchased one for over 700 grand, right?
That's a heavy rescue vehicle, yes, sir.
Okay, so a light rescue vehicle is still looking at 500 or 600 grand.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to get us another 3 to 4 years of frontline use and another couple of years of spare use, if you will, for 25 grand.
That's right.
I call that a good deal. I'm good with that. Any questions, comments from the committee? Sure.
No, I agree. I think this is a very worthwhile investment. I was pleased to hear how long you believe that it could be as a frontline truck and then move into the reserve status as well. I think this is good. I also like that you have the preventative maintenance program and going on like that. I did hear that there is the rest of the truck. It's good. So this is definitely something that you know, a worthwhile investment. So thank you for doing the legwork on that, and I will be supporting this. Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Chief. Item number 25-2020-056, found on page 179, Connecticut Village Light Poles.
Public Works is requesting to purchase three of the decorative light poles in Connecticut Village in the amount of $19,312.50. All three light poles were knocked down from traffic accidents. We will not purchase the light poles until the insurance proceeds are received. However, there's an 8 to 10 week lead time on these, so as soon as the monies are received, we would like to place the order for them, which is why we're asking you tonight to purchase the lights.
Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Howe?
Just for clarification, you said that it's 8 to 10 weeks as of when you submit the order?
Yes, 8 to 10 week lead time from when they receive the order.
Okay.
They have to be manufactured, so.
Oh, I understand. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Christy. Item 26, 2020-057, software renewal, UFED software renewal. Major?
Lori Michaelides on behalf of the police department. The department is seeking an exception to bid and authorization to renew our software for an evidence extraction device. The department purchased an updated UFED universal forensic extraction device machine made by Cellebrite in 2014 for $9,000. In order to keep the machine up to date for use as a forensic examiner, we are required to purchase a software renewal package each year. The cost of this package is $3,700. Cellebrite is a sole source vendor with respect to the machine and therefore its software packages as well. Cellebrite UFED is widely used by law enforcement agencies and can extract data from about 95% of the electronic devices on the market today. The machine is a standalone unit. It's currently used by the FBI, DEA, Rhode Island Cybercrime Task Force, as well as the Rhode Island Internet Crimes Against Children group. It's an invaluable tool for us, and the fact that we have one in-house allows us to operate it as needed and prioritize our own cases. The contract is for a one-year term. Will commence on August 2nd, 2019 through August 1st, 2020. If approved, it'll come from the Police Department's operating budget, code 30-340, service contracts.
Thank you, Major. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Major. Item 29, 2020-062. Wait a minute. I skipped way ahead. Sorry. We're back up on 2020-057. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. 27, 2020-060, City Clerk Advertising, found on page 185.
Good evening, Linda Brosco, City Clerk's Office. Requesting City Clerk Advertising in the amount of $17,000. It's going to come out of budget code 203. It's for fiscal year 2020. Comes out of the commodities 13203. Current bid expires June 30th.
And Lynn, just give us an update as to what this advertising would be pertaining to.
These expenses are to advertise zone change, abandonments, and ordinances. It's whatever the City Council passes.
Say again, please.
Zone changes, abandonments, and ordinances, whatever the City Council is passing. This is for City Council advertising.
And this is pretty consistent with years past?
Correct.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman McAllister.
And Lynn, this this type of advertisement is required, correct? This is law that you have to advertise these?
Yes, it is.
These.
It's required.
So the public knows.
Any that zone changes appealed by the petitioner. So it comes back in. It's just.
Lynn, you need to just
speak
in the
mic.
Okay.
Sorry. Zone changes would be paid by the petitioner.
Mm-hmm.
So that money comes in, and then we use their money to advertise.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Item 2020-061, Probate Court Advertising, found on page 187.
Okay, this also is the Probate Court Advertising. Budget amount requested is $25,000. It'll be used for all publications. It's coming from budget code 14203. It's for fiscal year 2020. Current bid expires June 30th.
Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Item 29, 2020-062, Code of Ordinance Supplementations, found on page 189.
Okay, this is the request for funds for the code and ordinances to cover the annual web hosting. Supplement will cover the ordinances that have passed the City Council since the beginning of the fiscal year. I'm requesting $6,650 to be rewarded. It's for fiscal year 2020, and it'll come out of budget code 13228.
Lynn, as we have done with previous department heads, I just want to draw your attention to that contract period.
I'm aware. Thank you.
Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Lynn. Okay, as discussed in the beginning of the meeting, items 1 through 10 with PCR 90-19 relative to bids were discussed in the beginning of the meeting and approved out of this committee and sent to the full council floor. There are no minutes of the previous meeting. We're going to move on to PCR 6219. Sorry?
June 17th? Because this is, we voted on this from
the... I'm sorry.
So we go to
You're right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. We are going to PCR 9819, resolution for two bids. We have PCO 7-19, pension board, and we're going to hold that to the July meeting, which is July 15th.
Motion to hold July 15th.
Seconded.
We have a motion to hold. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. PCR 94-17, State of Rhode Island Telecommunication Services, hold till July 15th.
Hold to July 15th.
Seconded.
We have a motion to hold. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
PCR 148-17, installation of sprinklers at the Cooper Building, hold till July 17th. I'm sorry, July 15th.
Motion to hold to July 15th.
Seconded.
We have a motion to hold. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. PCR 78-19, resolution relative to transfers, supplemental appropriations, and emergency appropriations.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman.
Good evening, Brian.
Committee. For you this evening is PCR 7819. This is the transfers and supplemental for FY19. All that's before you this evening is a transfer in the amount of $157,447. This is the surplus, year-end surplus for FY18 of the school department. This number is what they've arrived at. The city side, city finance has also agreed with this number, and the city's financial auditors, Blum Shapiro, has completed their audit with regards to the school department and are also in agreement with this number.
So, Brian, just to confirm what you said.
Yes.
In fiscal year 2018, the school department came back with a surplus of $157,447.
That is correct.
So a surplus means more than what you needed.
Correct. Revenue over expenses of by that amount. Yes. Yep.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. PCR 92-19, 2020-038, medical supplies and equipment.
Jason Umbenauer, Assistant Chief of the Fire Department. This is for bid for medical supplies and equipment, 2020-038. Six vendors submitted bids, and after evaluating pricing, the fire department recommends the following vendors: Boundary Medical out of Dublin, Ohio; Henry Schein out of Irmo, South Carolina; and Concordance Healthcare Solutions out of Tiffin, Ohio. Items will be purchased on an as-needed basis from budget 35367, EMS supplies and equipment. Current bid expires 7/20/19, and if approved, the new bid will be effect for a one-year period beginning 7/21/19, not to exceed $65,000.
And Chief, tell us why we had held this last month.
So the bid was held because of a discrepancy in the bid tabulation. So the department does its own bid tabulation in order to verify that the product specs are accurate and that that we do a more detailed like unit and cost analysis on each of the items. Purchasing does their own bid tabulation for their bid minutes. I overlooked the fact that in the bid package you had the purchase inversion and not my version, so we were conflicted when we came to the mic.
Okay, so going forward, we now have departments and purchasing. We're all on the same page, right, as to how this stuff is going to come to us? Because at the last meeting, we had this department thinking we had one thing when actually we had something different, and that's why we had held it for both of you to just kind of iron this out, right?
Yes, we're going to work together to get to make sure that what is at the podium and what you have in your packet are the same thing.
Okay. And Chief, you're all set with this?
Yes.
Okay.
The three vendors would be perfect.
All right. Thank you for doing that, both of you. Thank you for working this out. I'm sure that it's going to be a benefit to all department heads as we move forward. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. PCR 93-19, formerly 2019-318, Rhode Island, State of Rhode Island Computer Technical Support.
Good evening. Phil Carlucci, MIS Director. Excuse me. This request was originally under 5610 piggyback off the state of Rhode Island MPA 230 for computer technical support services in the amount not to exceed $30,000. The MIS department has been missing two key roles, one of them a database application developer, for going on about a year now. We have been diligent in the last few months. We figured out what it was, the skills we needed, and we've been advertising and we're getting closer. What I'd like to do, originally this was thought to bring in someone on a contract basis just to start to convert a number of systems that have been developed over the years throughout the city using a combination of Excel spreadsheets and Access databases, more low-key, not quite enterprise-ready applications. And we don't have those that were developed. The person who developed them is no longer here. There's very little documentation. I'm requesting an amendment to this. We're going to take a different approach. We picked one particular system, and that's the pension reporting system that is a combination of Excel and Access and some downloads out of Munis. And what we did is we went out to four different vendors that were on the MPA, and we requested this type of service from them. Two of them responded. Unfortunately, they had no one available. The skill set is in high demand. The other two, we had them come in with the person that they said they would be able to supply us with so that we could actually interview them. They sat down with Jean Bouchard, the director of personnel. She was able to talk to them about some of the things that she runs into with these reporting systems, and she was able to give us feedback. As it worked out, the person that she was most comfortable with also happened to be the lowest qualified bidder that we received. So I'd like to amend the request to be for a total of $8,800 and be awarded to Millennium Consulting of Wakefield, Rhode Island.
Okay, so Phil, you're looking for us to do an amendment which essentially will award the bid solely to Millennium Consulting in the amount of $8,800 for all the reasons that you've stated.
That is correct.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion on the requested amendment from the director.
I'll make a motion to amend the contract award amount to $8,800 and to award that contract to Millennium Consulting.
Seconded.
We have a motion We have a second on the amendment. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Need a motion to move as amended?
I move favorable as amended.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable as amended. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. It is 6:21, and the Finance Committee is adjourned.
The time is 6:22. Health, Education, and Welfare Committee is now open. There's no acceptance for the minutes from June 3rd as of this time. We're beginning on the June 17th. Item number 3 for June 17th, as the previous two items were from June 3rd. PCO 3-18, Rocky Point, Ordinance to Protect the Rights of Private Property Owners on the Councilman Lattice are not drafted. Councilman?
Hold till July 17th.
Motion to hold till July 17th?
15th, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Motion to hold till July 15th is made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The time is 6:22 p.m. Health, Education, and Welfare is closed.
I call the Ordinance Committee at 6:28. There is no minutes to accept from the last meeting, so we're going to go to June 17th docket. First is PCO 18-15, Neighborhood Improvement Program, an ordinance that will make landlords responsible for the cost to pick up debris left on the street by tenants. This is not drafted. Councilman Lattice, sir.
Sorry.
Debris not drafted. Neighborhood Improvement. The Councilwoman are working on it.
Yes, hold till July 15th.
As requested, the sponsor would like a hold for July 15th. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second. Second. It's moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Next up is PCO 3-19, an ordinance relative to boat storage on residential property. This is Councilman Corley, not drafted.
I would ask that it be continued to September 4th.
September 4th. I'll take that as a motion to hold to September 4. Do I have a second? A second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Hold of September 4. Next up is PCO 10-19, an ordinance in regards to water discharge. This is also Councilman Lattiser with a number of us.
July 15th.
The sponsor would like us to hold to July 15th. It's not drafted. The motion?
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. And I call the Ordinance Committee at 6:29.
Chair?
So Public Safety convenes at 6:33 p.m. We have no minutes, so we can go right to the claims. We already approved a few of them at the last committee meeting. A few were held until tonight, starting with Donna DiBiasio. Well, if you can just go up to the mic and state your name for the record.
Yep, Donna DiBiasio.
You gotta actually speak right into the mic, it's hard to
Donna
hear.
Donna DiBiasio.
All right, and you submitted a claim for damage to your mirror from a sign. The affidavit was filled out correctly, but and you have three estimates, but the department recommended denial of the claim. And it looks like the police report supports the department head's recommendation of denial, where it says you had enough room based on their analysis to not hit the sign, even though there was another vehicle in the other lane. Do you have any response to the police report?
I do. This is a photograph of the sign sticking out on Cohasset Road. The
right,
corner and the corner is what struck the mirror and broke it. It's a very narrow road. The sign should have been further in to avoid that kind of a problem.
Yeah, the police.
Do you want a photograph?
No, we have a copy of it. Thank you, though. The police report does even note that the sign intrudes on the roadway by a few inches, but despite that, according to the police officer, there was room for both vehicles to travel safely. And I know here in your thing, the police report said you had to veer because you were worried about a collision. Did you have the option to slow down or stop to allow the other vehicle to go by?
I was simply following the flow of traffic, and again, the corner of the sign struck the side mirror. It was protruding too far out. Look, I'm not going to haggle over $60 for the side view mirror. If it's declined, it's declined, but you shouldn't have made me come here tonight for this.
So my only question is whether or not you had the option to slow down or stop if you're worried.
That was not an option.
And why is that?
Simply because it just wasn't. I was driving down Cohasset Road. What would stopping do? The other car wasn't in my lane. It was a truck, and it was prior to the sign.
Any questions from other members of the committee?
Good evening. I just want to follow up on you stated that what good would it do to stop? It was a truck. Can you just clarify that statement? I'm so sorry.
The truck was coming in the opposite direction as I was going. I moved over closer towards the shoulder of the road, but I was still within my lane. Mm-hmm. That's simply how it happened. But the sign was protruding. The corner of the sign was protruding into the street. It should have been moved further in, which is what I told the officer, to prevent this from happening to someone else.
Thank you.
As I look over the claim and the reports, my thinking is that this should have been avoidable first by the city by just making sure that sign was positioned over just another 6 inches or another foot or so. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I do have to agree with the director that when it comes to determining if the city was negligent in this regard, I can't come to that conclusion that the city was necessarily negligent, as there was still a possibility of avoiding the sign, as other vehicles were able to avoid the sign. I know that it's not exactly welcome news. Unfortunately, sometimes accidents do happen.
Councilman Lasser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So I just want to speak to this. It's not about the monetary amount. Those signs are put there for a reason, and they're put there to let the public know, inform the public of construction going on, whatever the issue is. And for a sign to be 3 inches or 5 inches further discretionary one way or another, I don't think that's the issue. The issue that I see here is, instead of it being the sign, it could have been a worker. It could have been a police officer. It could have been a firefighter. It could have been a member of the DPW. The signs are put there for a reason. And to be that far over, keep in mind, if that sign is 3 inches into the lane of travel, you're almost into the breakdown lane of the road in an area where the signs are clearly indicating that there's activity going on. So I would just be cautious of setting a precedence for any time a sign is hit that is meant to send a message. It's meant to protect the workers in place or to protect whoever the passerby happens to be. So I would just be, my own personal feeling is, I would be reluctant to support this claim given those particular reasons. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other members?
Yes.
Council President Morola.
Thank you. So I just like to investigate this since it's in my ward a little bit more and ask. I'm not asking that you come back at the next council meeting. I'd just like to, if you'd like to, you can. It's only a $60 claim. I would like to talk to DPW a little bit more about how this occurred. I know there was some written information about how it occurred. It does bother me that there aren't cones up, because the problem is, and I think this is basic road construction issues, is that if you're going to move a lane, then you also need to have a situation where you're not forcing the person into oncoming traffic. And if you are, then typically there's a police officer standing there stopping traffic on one side of the road and allowing traffic to proceed on the opposite side of the road. That's typically how we do it. We don't put a sign into the roadway forcing other vehicles into oncoming traffic. And that's what happens when you need to move over, especially on Cohasset Road, with the breakdown lanes that were added several years back. And that part of this analysis bothers me because I don't also want to set that precedent where someone throws up a sign, there's not a police officer there, and we're encouraging people to drive on the wrong side of the double yellow line, because if we have a head-on collision, talk about a claim. There are procedures in place to make sure things like that don't happen. I don't think that it would be, I think it would have been more prudent to move the sign over to the side of the road, and then if you needed to move the lane of travel, put some cones up ahead. Do you recall what was ahead? Did you ever get up ahead? What type of road work they were doing?
I don't really remember.
Okay. Do you know if there were cones up? If there was,
I think it was tree service. I think they were
tree service.
I think.
Okay. So I would just ask that if we could hold it till the next meeting, so I could just ask some questions. Thank you,
Councilman Corley.
I am looking at the last photograph that was in the package that also has the mailbox for 383. And one thing that I see is that there is no breakdown lane. It might be somebody able to ride a bicycle in that 3 or 4 feet. The road work sign does have part of it that goes into the lane of travel. However, it is right before what appears to be a crosswalk, and the crosswalk does have the lines going across the road. However, the diagonal lines that usually mark the crosswalk have not been painted in quite some time, and there is no line separating the traffic on that road. There is a blank line in the middle that appears to be very, very faint, that might have existed sometime a long time ago. But I have come up on road work where there are signs that are in the lane of travel, and they are there to make you stop and make sure there's no one coming the other way. I think there was room to move this over to the right so that the road work sign did not interfere at all with the travel lane. However, the fact that it's right at a crosswalk should put a motorist on notice that when you come to a crosswalk that there should be due care. I was just pointing out that in the package there's a very clear picture that shows what a driver would have seen.
Any further questions? Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I would go with what Councilman Lattersley said, and I would agree with that. And please understand this form is the conversation. If there was a vehicle, we wouldn't be sitting at dealing with a request. If there was a vehicle in that lane, I do agree it's not much of a breakdown lane, but if there was a vehicle parked there, the responsibility would be on the moving traffic to avoid that vehicle. This is going a few inches. However, I do not have, I'm inclined to vote against the claim. However, I have no issue if my colleagues so wish to do as the council president requested.
Any further comments from members of the council? Any comments from members of the public? All right, so council president has requested to hold this till the next meeting. And if that happens, we can approve or deny the claim without your presence being necessary, so you don't have to sit through yet another meeting. So, do we have a motion?
Motion to hold until July 15th.
17. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next we have Brendan Beauville. Is there a Brendan Beauville here? Can we have a motion to hold?
Motion to hold until July 15th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next we have Suzanne Vestry.
Good evening.
Hello. Good evening. Could you just state your name to the microphone, please?
My name is Suzanne Vestry, and we have a claim for a damaged tire. I was on Tollgate Road. It damaged. The car went into it, and it damaged the tire.
So it looks like you properly completed your affidavit. You got three estimates, and the department has recommended approval in the amount of $293.48, although there is one lower estimate at
$291.92. Right.
Does any member of the committee have any questions? Do any members of the council have any questions? Do any members of the public have any comments or questions? Seeing none.
Move for favorable action in the amount of $291.92 per our restrictions within our charter.
Thank you.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Safety is done at 6:48 p.m.
This is on the top of the hill. Okay, we start with number five.
Okay, the Intergovernmental Committee agenda is beginning at 6:51. The first item on the agenda. Second page, it's PCR-9-19, a resolution requesting that the Rhode Island Airport Study consider additional factors in its 2019 CFR noise study report. So concerning PCR-9-19, there is a resolution, and it was drafted by Councilman Ricks. Want to explain it?
Unless there are any questions, I would request favorable action.
Does anyone on the committee have any questions concerning the resolution regarding the noise study? Anyone on the council have any questions? Anyone in the general public have any questions? Hearing no questions, is there a motion?
Move a favorable action.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The second item is PCR-88-19. It's not drafted. Councilman Ricks. Concerning the Ocean State Climate Adoption Resilience Fund.
Yes. So, it being not drafted, well, it is drafted. It is in our binders. However, as it is listed as not drafted on the agenda, I would therefore request that it be held to July 15th.
July 15th.
Motion per request of the sponsor to hold until July 15th.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
That is brings the committee to an end at 6:53.
It is now 6:55. The Committee on Appointments is now open. The first order of business is the acceptance of the minutes of May 20th, 2019.
Motion to accept minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next order of business is the appointment of you, Bruce Webb, to the Land Trust Commission. Hi, Mr. Webb.
Hello.
Thank you for stepping forward. Are you familiar with the Land Trust Commission? I believe you've been going to the meetings.
Yes.
All right. Could you just tell us something about yourself?
Well, I am an environmental scientist. I'm currently working for the Department of Environmental Management. Relatively new to Rhode Island and Warwick. I've been living here about 4 years. In an effort to get to know my community better and to help out with my new community, I've been, you know, volunteering different opportunities. So that's the Coles Notes version.
Thank you very much. Any comments from the committee?
I just want to thank you again. I've read your resume. I know you came before us before as well. We had to straighten some things out. But I'm glad that you stuck with this, that you want to serve our community. These boards and commissions are very important, and it's great to have people that step up and volunteer, and this looks like it's you're a great fit for this. So I thank you for volunteering, and I'm looking forward to supporting you tonight.
Any other comments from the committee?
I'd also like you to, well, to thank you for stepping up and then also sticking with us and bearing with us during this process. Wanted to make sure that we got all the kinks ironed out so that no vote of the land trust could ever be questioned. So thank you again for your patience through all of this. And based on your credentials and your experience, I would be proud to vote in favor.
Thank you very much. And
okay. Any comments from the council?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Webb, I want to thank you for your patience. And I want to thank you for, you know, the service you've already given to us. And seeing that you're living in Ward 3 and you were my nominee, and you were highly endorsed by those that serve, including the chairwoman, that you were endorsed to serve on that Lands Trust. I just would also like to thank the coward anonymous email letter writer that didn't have the guts to put a name to it, but certainly brought some attention to us that we needed to look at and change the charter. And now you were able to serve, and we are actually able to expedite this whole situation. So I thank you for your patience. I thank you for your diligence and your willingness to still serve. And I'm happy to put my name to your nomination as this body is to vote for you. Thank you, sir.
Well, Well, again, thank you. And thank you to the council in general for
any other comments from the council? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Move for favorable action.
Any comments from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Move for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. The next item is the reappointment to Leslie Derrick to the Land Trust Commission. Hi, Leslie. I know Leslie well. She's actually the chair of the commission right now, and she is up for reappointment. Would you like to tell us something about yourself, Leslie?
I've been on the Land Trust now for, I think, like 10 years, and served in just about every capacity. We've rewritten the bylaws, and we've gotten the first grants that have allowed us to purchase our first properties in the history of the Warwick Land Trust. We did 23 lots in the past couple of years, which is more than they've ever done. We've all been working hard to, you know, make this land trust successful and do something with it.
All right. Thank you very much, Leslie.
Thank you.
Any comments from the committee?
Thank you for serving.
Any comments from the council?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do want to just say, I served before serving on this body, I served on the Lands Trust, and I served with Ms. Dering, and I want to say she's a dictionary of information, and she gets the action done before you even realize the action is needed. So I'll be honored and proud to vote for you, Leslie, on another term, and we're lucky to have you.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Any comments from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Move to reappoint.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you.
It is now 7:01 and the Committee on Appointments is now over.
The time is 7:01. The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order. There are no minutes to accept. The first and only item on the agenda is PCO 9-19, an ordinance amending the zoning of the City of Warwick, 623 Post Road, James Donnellan, petitioner. This is for second passage. Do we have any comments from members of the committee? Do we have any comments from members of the council? Any comments from members of the public? Hearing none, and as Councilman Corley has previously recused himself on this matter, I would request a motion.
I make a motion for favorable action.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Committee adjourns at 7:03 p.m.
So economic development now starts at 7:04 p.m. First item of business, acceptance of minutes from the May 6, 2019 committee meeting.
Move for acceptance of minutes.
Abstain.
So second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
And then PCR 46-19, Economic Development, Councilman Lattiser.
Hold till the August meeting. I don't have the date in front of me. August 19th.
Move to hold to August 19th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Economic Development concludes at 7:05 p.m.